Let everybody say amen. God has been good again. God is always good, but it's even better when He has lengthened out your lives, our lives, to be here one more time to worship and praise His holy name. This morning, we're just so glad to see each and every one in the audience. We're glad to see especially those who have been sick and that are back with us once again. We're glad and happy to see that the church is doing well by looking after the sick and going, calling and visiting the sick. And we must remember those who are still on the sick list, those who are recuperating, and those who may or may not be in the hospital. If they're sick, they're still on the sick list. Let us take a moment now and go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, You have blessed us once again, because we didn't have to meet this day this morning, but You allowed us to meet it early this morning. You brought us through the night of sleeping and slumbering. You gave us a roof over our heads, and You gave us food to put into our stomach, and for this we are eternally grateful. We're thanking You this morning, Father, because You have left Your Son in charge of the church, and we just thank You that we're able to be members of the body that He left. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. Thank You this morning, Father, for this local congregation here and the leaders of this congregation. We pray for their strength and their worthiness to do their job. And we ask You, O Heavenly Father, to continue to strengthen them and their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and pray that You strengthen them and their families as well. We pray once again for those who are sick and ask You, O Heavenly Father, that if it be Your will, that You would look individually at each and every one of them. Give them the strength they need and the ability to come back, if that be Your will, O Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who are caring for the sick as well. Thank You, Father, for the families this morning, those who are raising their children. We thank You, O Heavenly Father. We thank You this morning, Father, because You have done so much for us that all we can do is say thank You, because we can never repay You. But, Father, if we just live right and do Your will, we know that one day there may be a reward. There is a reward awaiting us if we live righteously, O Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all the churches everywhere, but in particular this local congregation. Thanking You, O Heavenly Father, for those who labor in these congregations, and we thank You for the membership as well. We thank You this morning now, Heavenly Father, as we move into the next portion of these services. We thank You that we are able to lift up Your Son's name once again, O Lord, and praise Your holy name as well. Thanking You now for everything that You've done for us, everything You continue to do for us. Please, Father, continue to bless us now and watch over and keep us. And if these services this morning will be found favorable in Thy sight, please accept them, O Lord. It is in Your Son Jesus' name that we ask all these blessings. Let us all say amen. This morning, from the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, in that verse number 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." And that's what we want to talk about for a little while this morning, searching the scriptures. There's a myth in the world today, even among those some who profess to be Christians. That myth is that we only need to read the Bible in times of desperation, in times of sickness, or in times of troubles. Some believe that the Bible is for old people only. Others believe that it's only for children. Others believe that once you are grown up, you get to the age of 17 or 18, you no longer need the Bible. That there's nothing more to read about or read of its instructions of the Bible. The Bible is not a book for only those situations, but rather it is for all people at all stages in all their lives. As in the text, Paul speaks to the Christian of these Jews in Berea. And they were more open to receive the gospel than some others of whom he spoke the word of God to. When we search the scriptures, we are finding treasures that we shall come upon, and it will track us or bring us back to the truth. So what are some of the truths of the Bible? Well, there are many truths in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible is all truth, but I don't have enough time but to tell you about several of them this morning. Number one, when we read and study the Scriptures, it would teach us the truth about sin. Sin is the disregarding of God's Word, which is in the Bible. It is the missing of the mark. Sin had its roots in even in early man. If you'll notice in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. This verse lets us to know how sin came about. It gives us the punishment for sin, and it lets us to know that we are all sinners. Sin is death unto all men without exceptions. In Romans chapter 6, in the verses number 23, it is spelled out even clearer, for it says, it gives a remedy. It says, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God, church, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No other book in the world can make that claim. No other name can be proclaimed under these heavens that gives us this promise. According to Acts 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name which under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way one can know that this is by searching the Scriptures. There is something in the Scriptures about and for every one of us. These Scriptures will teach us. They will guide us. They will inform us. And most importantly, they can point us to heaven. Searching the Scriptures daily can do a whole lot for us. But look at the text again in verse number 11 of Acts chapter 17. The Bible says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word in all readiness of mind. And search the Scriptures. How often did they search the Scriptures? The Bible says they searched daily whether these things were so. And so for those of us who believe that I can pick up my Bible once every other month, it's just not so. Searching the Scriptures daily is what we all ought to be doing. And I understand that time is a precious commodity in some of our lives. And some of us just don't seem to have the time to study the Bible. At least that's what they say. That they don't have time to read and search the Scriptures daily. But then the Bible is giving us a specific there. It says they search the Scriptures daily. They wanted to find out if what was being preached and taught to them were true. When we search the Scriptures and continue searching the Scriptures and search them daily, we'll find out some truths about prayer. Praying is so very crucial in the life of a believer. It is the only way, it is our way of talking to the Lord. But some are confused as to when they ought to pray, why they ought to pray, and what they ought to pray for. But then in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, the Bible tells us about the frequency of prayer. It says that we are to pray always. Men are to always pray, in other words. So what does that word always mean? Always means from now on and forever, always. Pray always. Just like any of our other daily routines, prayer should be a part of our daily ritual. By searching the Scriptures daily, we will understand and we will come to know that Jesus taught Himself on prayer. Prayer is not something that should be a passing thought. It is something that we should be doing every day. And who should we be praying to? Well, a searching of the Scriptures would reveal to us that we should be praying to God, just as Jesus did in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12, the Bible said Jesus went into a mountain and continued to pray. All night long he prayed to God. Can you imagine? Some of us, we won't give a prayer of 5 minutes, but Jesus prayed all night long to God. Jesus did not do as some of us do today, and he said that he was praying to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm praying to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit does not answer prayer. Instead, He intercedes or interprets the needs of our hearts when we pray to God. In Romans chapter 8, in the verses number 26, the Bible says, "The Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us." When we can only mumble a groan, when we can only say, the Spirit knows how to interpret our hearts to God. Therefore, we ought to learn to pray without ceasing, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in the verse is number 17. By continuing to search the Scriptures, we will find we ought to be praying for strength and peace. In Psalms chapter 29, in verse number 11, the Bible says, "The Lord will give strength to His people. He will bless His people with peace." When we are sick, we ought to be praying, according to James 5, in verse number 17. We must pray for those who persecute us. Do you remember in Acts chapter 7, around about verse number 59 and verse number 60, where even though he was being stoned, Stephen prayed that those who were stoning him to death might be forgiven. In searching the Scriptures daily, you will find many things. You will find, as we just talked about in a scripture this morning, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, we ought to pray to God for everything. And some folk don't understand that word, everything. I'll pray to Him for certain things, but I'm not going to pray to Him for everything. Well, Paul says we ought to pray to God for everything. When we search the Scriptures, we will be taught that we are to ask God for everything that we need, or in need of everything that we even want. Some things He will give you what you want, but He will always give you what you need. But then, and they say in the verse again in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." When you search the Scriptures, you don't just take my word for it. I'm wrong sometimes. I can be wrong sometimes. The elders can be wrong sometimes. Even the other members can be wrong sometimes. But when you search the Scriptures on a daily basis, you'll come to find out what's truth and what's not true. When you search the Scriptures daily, you'll find that it will teach us on the crucified and the risen Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 14, this is a text among texts, especially to those who labor in the preaching of God's Word. And it is encouragement to all Christians, for it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If Christ was not raised, then all of us are in for a rude awakening, church. For this preaching that we do is all for nothing, and Christianity is the biggest hoax that has ever been pulled on mankind. If this be not true, if Christ be not risen." But we know that Christ was risen from the grave, was raised from the grave. If it not be true, we would become the vainest of all men. But then in that same book of 1 Corinthians, verse number 17 of chapter 15, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and we are still in our sins." When you walked up to the front of the church and declared your confession that Christ was the Son of the living God, and then you were put in the watery grave of baptism, you were washing away your sins. You are there for the remission of your sins. And if Christ be not risen, then all of that was a joke. Is that not true, church? You don't have to say anything. If Christ be not risen, then our faith is in vain. But thank God today that if we search the Scriptures, we will come to know the God of the Bible. When you know the God of the Bible, you'll understand some things better. You'll understand how that He was crucified at the age when most men are beginning to live in the prime or the early stages of the prime of their lives. When most men are in their 30s, they are just beginning to enjoy life. But Jesus was taken away through death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3 and 4, it speaks of the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You better search the Scriptures in order to know that, church. When you search the Scriptures, you will find in Matthew where the Bible says that Mary Magdalene went to the burial spot of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. But they didn't find Jesus there. For there was an angel from heaven who had came down and rolled the stone away from the grave. And he appeared unto the women, telling them, I know that you are seeking Jesus, but guess what? He is not here. He is risen as He said. I don't know how many scriptures we need to bring to you to let you know that God is the risen God. God is not a dead God. Jesus is not a dead God, but He is a risen and an alive God who sits on the right hand of His Father, which is in heaven. When one continues to search the Scriptures, it can be found in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus showed Himself alive to His apostles. How can we be certain? Somebody may say, how can we be certain that it was Jesus? Well, according to the Scriptures, and you must search the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, He showed Himself alive, indicating He walked, He talked, and He assembled with them. Yes, I know that this, I believe the Scriptures to be true, and I hope that you believe the Scriptures to be true. I know that God is real. I know that His Son is real. I know that heaven is real, but I also know that hell is real as well. So you must make a choice, and you can search the Scriptures to find out that there are only two choices that you have to choose from. And when you search the Scriptures and you make that choice, if you don't change, if you make the wrong one, it's going to be damnation to you. If you make the right one, you'll have eternal life. In John chapter 5 and 39, it was Jesus who said, search the Scriptures, for in them you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. But then it sounds as though he was aiming his words at some of us today. For in verse number 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Some of us say we believe the Bible, but we won't give ourselves unto Jesus. If you believe something, aren't you willing to give yourself unto that something? If you believe in something, aren't you willing to allow that something to be a part of your life? And I asked the question this morning, where do you fit in? Are you one of those who say, I believe, but you haven't given your life to Jesus? Are you one of those who say that, yes, I know that Jesus is real. Yes, I know that God is real. Yes, I know the existence of the Holy Spirit, but yet you refuse to give yourself unto Jesus. Are you one of those? Are you one of those who say, well, I would accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but I got too much living to do? Well, unfortunately, you don't have the market cornered on living. You don't know when your life is going to be up. You don't know when God is going to call you to come home. And I found out something in living these few years that I've lived. You don't have to be old to die. You can be young and still die. You can be old and live a long time. And some people have lived so long they may not even think that they're going to die anymore. But yes, they are going to die. You know, every time we hear of someone who's 105, 110, we say to ourselves, boy, they lived a long life. But God still is going to call them as well. God is going to call all of us one day. So you've got to make your decision and make your mind up. You think you have eternal life, but you must accept Jesus in order that you may receive it. Eternal life is not sold in a bag or in a box. and it's not sold in stores. And I may as well tell you this, there's no app for eternal life this morning. There's no app that you can get to heaven by eternal life through the Bible this morning unless you search the Scriptures. That's the only way you can have eternal life. Eternal life is the Word of God, is through the Word of God. No GPS is needed to direct you to the Word of God. Nothing but the Word of God and a searching of these words can help you get to heaven. And I know that many say that I'm going to start searching the Scriptures one day. I'm going to start searching the Scriptures as soon as I get around to it. But what if you never get around to it? What if your life ends before you get around to it? I heard one man describe it to some folk. He said, many of us are going to be like a lost ball in high weeds. And you know what that means? That means that that ball rolls in those tall weeds and you have no chance of spotting it unless you microscopically check the grass or the weeds. But I tell you something. When you start to search the Scriptures, you will find Jesus Christ between the pages of Genesis and Revelation, but in particular between Matthew and Revelation. Start your life in the right direction by searching the Scriptures. So when these people were with all readiness of mind, they understood and they began to search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So I asked the question this morning, are you searching the Scriptures this morning? Are you just assuming that I already know everything? I don't need the Bible to give me any more guidance. I already have this. As the young folks say, I got this. But I tell you something, by you not searching the Scriptures, you don't know what God has in store for you. By not searching the Scriptures, you don't know what the outcome of life can hold for you. By not searching the Scriptures. By not searching the Scriptures, you have no clue as to how good God really has been unto all of us. And I know God has been good to all of us because we're all here still. And there are those who say, well, because I'm here, that doesn't mean that God has been good to me. I'm just still living. But how do you think you're living? They don't manufacture the things that God gives us all the time. And some things that God has given us cannot be manufactured. Some things that God gives us cannot be remade because we don't have the ability. We don't have the ability to make the stars and hang them in the sky. We don't have the ability to make the sun shine when we want it to shine. We don't have the abilities to tell the moon to shine at night and the sun to shine only in the daytime. Do we, church? We don't have the ability to give eternal life. We don't have the ability that God is capable of giving us. And every time we take a breath, we ought to thank God for that breath. Every time we put a morsel of food in our mouths, if you remember reading the Scriptures, every time Jesus took bread, what did He do? He blessed it, did He not? Every time we take food into our stomach, we ought to bless that food and thank God for that food. And I'm not saying when you're sitting in a restaurant that you cause a disturbance by praying to God and thanking Him for the food. Just hold your head down and thank God. Because some folk get embarrassed when you pray over your food. Some folk, even church folk, don't like to hold their head down and pray to God in public. But I tell you something. The Bible says that if you're going to be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. So being ashamed here has some repercussions up there. And if you want to get up there, you got to do it right down here. And doing it right down here means searching the Scriptures daily. Searching the Scriptures. When I think about searching of the Scriptures, and I'm almost done. When I think about searching the Scriptures, I picture somebody with a Bible in their hand. and reading the Scriptures, but not simply just reading the Scriptures, but literally searching the Scriptures, digging out of the Word of God and getting an understanding of its meaning, asking God to let you study in wisdom and take this wisdom and pull out what is the Bible really saying to us? What is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to show me? And literally, just doing that on a daily basis. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. You can relegate yourself to 10 or 15 minutes of Bible study each day, and you'll be surprised how much you can get out of that if you got more time, of course. But some people don't have more time. So if you can get 10 or 15 minutes or even more than that is better, then give that to God. Because He's going to give you, or He gave you all day yesterday. So today we ought to give Him a little bit more that He can give us this day as well. We don't make us to live this entire day. God does that. We don't create in our own bodies our health and our strength. God does that. You can eat all the herbs and berries and nuts that you want to eat, but one day you still might get sick. You can eat all the health food that you want to, but one day you still might get sick. You can live a healthy lifestyle that you want to. You can exercise, get up exercising, and go to bed exercising. But God is still in charge of these old bodies of ours. And one day, He's going to call them home. And no, He doesn't want your body. He's going to call your soul home. He's going to call us home, but He wants your soul. That's what it is. These bodies are going to go back to where they came from, back to the dust, back to the earth, and we shall be no more. And I may as well tell you, church, it's tough when you have to deal with death. Nobody likes to do it, but we all must understand that it comes. And so when it comes, the question is, will you be ready for it? How do I get ready for it, preacher? Well, you must search the Scriptures daily, and it'll give you all the direction, instructions, and teachings on doing God's will and living a life that's good to God, that's good for God and good for you as well as good to God. And if you want to become a member of the Lord's body, His church, right here, right now, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And I know that there are many who have walked astray, including the preacher. The preacher has been astray before. And when we go astray, we ask God simply to forgive us and pray to Him that He does forgive us. And then we can come forward and ask the church to pray for us that we may gather strength. If this is your desire, as we together stand, sing the song of invitation.